Welcome to Views from the Clutch. I go by the name of Smart Alex. I'm here with my brother from another.
See, Grant, what's good?
And we return with another edition of Post All-Star Break Blues Views from the Clutch. As always, we'd like to say thank you to our supporters and subscribers, listeners. If you would like to take a moment out to shout us out, please do so on any of the podcasting platforms that you find us on. You can leave us a review, do us a favor on the algorithm. You could reach us directly at viewsfromtheclutch@gmail.com. Tag us on social media on Views from the Clutch on Instagram and Facebook. Oh, man. Tomorrow it starts all over again, man. It's the rundown to the playoffs. You excited?
Yeah, second half of the season. Could make or break a lot of teams.
Yeah, the New York Knicks is looking like they winding up, man. I snatched up Mitchell Robinson. So when he get healthy, that's gonna be my third big man. So because he's good for 13 rebounds a game.
That's a fact, especially depending on how he comes back from the injury.
Well, I figured they're not gonna let him back on the floor until he can play. And when you play for Tom Thibodeau, you only play one type of way.
That's a fact.
His first game back, he gonna be in a double overtime.
Thriller.
45 minute, 28 rebound. You know what I mean? Listen, because how they do it in the Garden. Y'all theatered up. So they're going to be playing the Rocky Balboa theme and can't carry him off the court. Like, it's going to be Willis Reed when Mitchell Robinson comes back.
Damn. Crazy. Hey, man, listen, man. We got some promise to this season, so. That's all I could be happy for.
Yeah, I'm grateful for the idea that there's an invested outlook on the future of the New York Knicks. Like, I mean, y'all won a playoff series last season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Y'all didn't get a chance to really, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I don't think y'all lost bad in the second round, but I don't think y'all really got a chance to show the growth. You know what I mean? That team is capable of. But it looks like with the tweaks that y'all made, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a positive outlook out there, man.
Yeah.
Positive outlook out
there. The biggest thing is the injury.
With the injuries. But before we do that, you know what I'm saying? This is just us just shooting the breeze. Let's just go ahead and address what's taking place in the NBA since we last, convened. The All-Star game, the All-Star festivities. We'll recap them briefly, not spend too much energy on it because, honestly, I don't think much of us really did spend too much energy on it. So, and that's kind of like where the NBA is at and trying to figure things out. You know, they had the conversations of passing the torch to the new face of the league. So let's go ahead and get your thoughts on that.
I mean, I think they got to. Like, when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the NBA definitely has to find those faces because, again, when you get the LeBron James and the Steph Currys who have less years – ahead of them, then they got to find those box office / international players that can carry the league.
You need the guy that you can slap the logo on his back.
Absolutely,
and know that everything's gonna be okay.
Let's of course,
just be honest about it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what it boils down to. And there have been candidates, and I feel like if they can create enough distance between their mistakes and them being looked upon as, worthy of that type of consideration, maybe we could get there. You know, I'm not in the business of being a part of that committee. I do feel like right now the NBA is in a good place that there are so many good players that you can kind of run with the mantra of come see all the stars. You know what I mean? Because the NBA was like, LeBron was printing money. Let's just be real. LeBron was printing money. There was a time where Kobe was kind of printing money. Shaq printed money for a while. We all know Michael Jordan printed money for a while. You can go down the line. Like, there have been guys that they put in, Magic and Bird, they printed money.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that in business, you always want to be able to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
of course.
That's what Disney tries to do. That's what all major corporate Amazon is doing. You know, you want to have that central thing that you're known for or that could be considered like your face. But again, it just seems like the rule of natural selection will allow that person to pick itself. I think it's already here. I just think that the timeline is just a little ahead of itself. So there's going to be this gap And all of these guys that we're talking about now, a lot of them are going to age out of their prime. Mm-hmm. And Wemby is going to be, he's going to pick it up. So I just project Wemby to be that guy. Like, that's my pick. He's going to be the face of the league. He's going to be the face of, not the NBA. He is going to be the face of basketball. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be the next version of an athlete within our sport who transcends it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, come on.
I mean, no.
He's group playing basketball. Group is playing basketball.
I got you. No, again, I'm looking at the standpoint of.
Oh, by the how way, does that... who he just signed his first record deal with, right?
What happened?
You know who he signed his first record deal with, right? His first major endorsement deal.
Oh, Louis Vuitton. You know who, right? He signed to?
Yeah.
That's crazy. No, that's why when you said that, I said, "Oh yeah, that makes sense." Because the fact that he's able to do that. It's definitely like the NBA.
Are you familiar with any NBA basketball player in Louis Vuitton's history?
No.
The only
thing I saw recently was LeBron did something for them, but that was like maybe because he knows Pharrell type thing, not because he's actually been identified as a certain title. You know what I mean? Like, there's guys that have modeled stuff or worn something new that, you know, you would think that, oh, they must, you know, they must have got this from the company. But to be named a certain, to be named as a, you know, his title was not ambassador, but it was something. It was something along the lines of, "Hey, we're putting some money behind you. We put some marketing dollars to make sure you pop. Just keep doing your thing, get better, and you're gonna have enough eyes on
you."
He's an ambassador.
He's a brand ambassador.
Okay, good.
Which is by title and inherently. Probably top tier for when a company decides that they want to deal with you. And let's just look at this from a real world perspective. Groot is playing basketball and now he's wearing clothes that are considered high fashion.
Yep.
There ain't nobody, nobody who looks like him that's going to be able to wear the type of clothes that he's going to look good in. So I just want you guys to notice now, okay? Just understand that. The way your body works and your build definitely helps with the clothing that you wear.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that they're going to be giving this guy to, don't be putting it on. Because it's going to make sense to benefit and accentuate, because that's what fashion does, the angles of how he's built, but that's not how fashion works for us. So just be careful. Don't feel like that if you buy everything Wemby wearing, you're going to be stylish. That's the warning I'm just trying to give you.
No, but the thing about it is that's what every high-end fashion brand comes out with stuff that that at least you and I or people that of our ilk will be like, I'm good on that. I don't care what it costs. But there are the people out there that look at it like, no matter what we think it looks like, they like, oh.
Yeah, they got to be in the mix.
Exactly. So that's the thing. So
oh, it's
going
to happen.
It's going to happen.
I'm just
it's
trying to get
happen.
Some of y'all.
Yeah, I follow you 2,000,000%. I think the fact that they did this such an early stage in his career, I really believe that they're also looking at it from he's from France. So
yes, and they're a French company.
Exactly.
They snatched him up. They took one of their own,
and they're going
to
make
sure they made sure that they're going to eat off the profit pie. That is Victor Wembanyama.
Yes. And also to make sure that NBA, he needs to be an all-star next year.
Oh, that's a given.
Because that's the thing.
He should have been one or could have been one.
I think only because of the record that he didn't get in, you know, he didn't get that. But the fact that they had him somewhat a part of all the NBA weekend.
Okay, so is there a chance that he doesn't win Rookie of the Year in your mind now, even with what Chet's doing?
No, I don't think he loses that. I mean, that was automatically his race to lose, and he's done nothing to lose that. Chet has been good, very good for the number two seed, you know, anywhere between one and three, basically,
top 4 team in the West.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hell, he might be a top three. But yeah, so and he's pretty much
at one point
the
they were number
option.
One, but
he's really the second
one
option.
Number one, but OKC and the number one seed, we know that's going to fluctuate probably for the rest of this, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But the West is going to play out wild, so them being top four right now, we all know that. Like once these games start, like they're all separated by like they're all tied, mm-hmm. so it's going to get crazy. But I mean, back to Wimby, like you said. And like I'm speaking to with the whole conversation of just, you know, speaking to them pretending like they don't know where the future is and it's already right in front of them. So I just felt like that whole conversation has been coy because I respect them all not putting it on him when he's not even – he was president at All-Star Weekend because, you know, he participated in – let's get back
the skill contest.
So, yeah, which was a joke.
No, the whole All-Star Weekend was a joke this year, more so than years prior. I think so. I think this year was just a little emphasis on almost like a mockery of what we've known it to be. And I really feel like it could have been, it had a lot of promise, but I really feel like.
You know what I thought was dope?
Huh?
The way they had the court lighten up.
The LEDs. Yeah. The LEDs was definitely
fire. I didn't watch the All-Star game at all. So did the court light up like that during the All-Star game?
I don't know. I didn't watch it either. Let me say this. No. I watched it.
Damn,
but let me say this. I watched it, but I don't believe the court lit up at all. But to be honest,
the dunk contest? Did they do that for the three-point contest?
I didn't watch the three-point contest either. But no, and I should have. No, I believe it was because that whole weekend – I think except the All-Star game, it was lit up. I don't think it was lit up for – no, it definitely wasn't lit for the game because I remember seeing highlights. And for the three-point shootout, I think it was lit to an extent, you know.
Yeah, it was probably doing some snazzy.
I think it was in the paint was lit, not the actual rest of the court. I think at different times it was. But again, that's – you know, they got to try different things. So there's nothing wrong with
that. But
them
I like that. I like the court look for the dunk contest because that's what I watched. I watched the dunk contest because you could watch it on YouTube in like a quick like 15-minute segment. You know what I'm saying? And not to say that I have a short attention span, but it was just like again, and we're speaking to it, and we're not going to speak long on it because again, it's disingenuous to the people that listen to us and even us to even behave that way and act super informed. There's a reason why we chose not to watch it. We weren't excited for it. You know what I'm saying? Like if Mac McClung didn't win the dunk contest, I would have been annoyed. Because to me, he was on paper the best dunker in that field already. And
but
so
the
seeing
sad
Jaylen
part
Brown
about it
did
is...
a poo-poo performance, even though he made a lot of great political statements, the actual execution of the dunks was just not good. So, you know, shout out to Jaylen Brown and what he does and what he represents, because I'm really big on having a message as an athlete and actually standing on something. So he's to be, you know what I mean, like supported. And but bro, the dunks was not it. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You didn't even get the D Brown arm thing correctly. It almost looks like you didn't practice it.
No, but that's you took the words out, Mom. You took the words from me. This looked like a weekend from the dunk contest of guys just saying, you know what? I got to do what? All right, I'll go up there.
I'm saying, you know, Jaylen Brown put his name in the pool, so he definitely had a message.
That's the problem. He had a message that wasn't based off of I'm going to dunk. It was more so of the non-basketball stuff, which was great. But I felt like if he would have executed better dunks, that would have helped his message even more. Because instead of us focusing on him almost being a Shaq and a fool candidate for some of those dunks, now some of the messages that he was trying to relate, we're glossing over that. Because he did such a poor performance. Like a very laughable performance to the point where it's like, wait a minute, you had a lot of good things. And again, you were the biggest star there on the event. And honestly, people didn't know what to expect from you because, yeah, we've seen you dunk on people, but we don't know how creative you can be. And if that's what you gave us, if that's your level of creativity, we're good on that. I'm good on your messages. I'm good on everything you was trying to do because I'm paying attention to now, like, some of the almost antics that you were doing and that I felt like you didn't honor the basketball. Because I really felt like he didn't even, like he didn't have, honestly, none of these cats, and this is one thing I don't, and maybe this is also one thing we could talk about too, is how maybe it's a combination of the NBA needs to almost get guys to submit some of their dunks. Hey, what are you trying to do? Submit it to like a committee. Because we can't
screen.
You gotta literally screen. Because I remember, and maybe I'm off when I say this, but I remember guys have to be in a dunk contest because they had to complete a certain amount of dunks in the season.
In the season.
To become a candidate for that. So if that's
to
the
be
case,
eligible, you had to have not even like posters or anything, but like
you Blake had to have
Griffin,
dunks.
I think like one season had like 189 dunks. And that year that he went to the dunk contest, I think he had already had like you said, like they that was a countable stat that they were actually pointing to
yes.
to let you know, like, hey, this is why this guy's here. I think it's let me be fair. I don't think it's the best trackable stat because there's a lot of guys who can only dunk and
yes.
they don't all belong in the dunk contest.
That's a fact.
So there's that part of it, but I get the idea that like that gives you an opportunity to be on the radar. Like, yo, this guy's got 110 dunks in 45 games, or what is it, 55? They get to like 55 because usually mm-hmm. by the All-Star break, they're doing the last 26. So yeah, by 55 games, you got like 100 some odd dunks. You dunk it twice a game. Cool. We should look at you. Now, all right, now we got game dunk footage to look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get busy, or is you just finishing at the rim because you're Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? So is that
yeah, exactly.
element of it too. But I just think that where the NBA has gone to with it, you really don't have the best dunkers in the world being part of the best basketball players in the world. So just from a mm-hmm. from a pure, are you getting the best possible? Because there was a time, briefly, where the best dunkers in the world were also NBA players. But that ended with the Vince Carter era. After Vince, the best dunkers in the world, they started to be on YouTube and A&1.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it's just reality.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I was going to mention.
Because
that.
There's nobody in the NBA in the dunk contest yet that's done a 720. But there's mm-hmm. a guy on YouTube who was on A&1 whose name was 720.
Mm-hmm.
So there are elite dunkers that
yes.
aren't a part of the NBA fraternity. So we're never going to get that product. That's the dunk contest. That's why it's broken. I don't think there was an issue with the 3-point contest.
Yes. No, well, again, people love people that can shoot. And I think the NBA actually has a window now that they created with Steph against Sabrina that they can do that every year because she can shoot.
Yeah.
No, I think that was a hit. I think
it was definitely
this.
A hit.
Well, I think for what the NBA should do to help the WNBA what I'm saying is you get some women involved in shooting so people can pay attention. Because again, the NBA has to see the wave of women's college
right.
basketball.
I'm just saying,
see
don't
the
use the word help. Don't use the word help.
Okay, okay, not help.
Like,
okay,
like
the market.
Make promote.
Market. Okay, yes. Promote and market. Okay, and that's a better word than help, right? Promote and market the WNBA more than, and I think they can use events like that because
correct.
Fans can actually tune in and say, oh, I remember this. Because let's be clear, this is something I mentioned to somebody earlier today, actually. That girl Sabrina arguably has the best basketball shoe. And if nobody told me that was a women's basketball shoe, I wouldn't have known. So
you oh you want
to
tell
thing.
Your story? Oh, let me. Oh my God, that's why you're my brother from another. I'm gonna tell y'all something real quick, Clutchville. How real what he just said is. I'm at work today, and shout out to my coworker Lisa. Her son Liam is a basketball player. We were talking about the All-Star game, and he said, "Yo, it's the wave. You know that Sabrina got the hottest sneakers, and he got a pair." In his size, there's boys wearing this girl's sneaker. Yo, you are
Yo,
so on point with that.
But
sneaker
they fire. Will you? Have you seen them?
I'm about to pull them up.
Yo, there's nothing that tells me, oh, this is a woman's shoe. This is like, there's nothing that says to me, Like, it had I not known it was a woman's shoe before I saw it, I would have never guessed it was a woman's shoe.
But the Sabrina one?
Yes.
It's such a simple design.
But for Nike, that's
always what wins. That's what I'm saying. Like,
but again,
keep it simple, stupid.
Yes, but when you see the different colorways, you look at the shoe.
Oh, yeah, the colorways is always what's gonna make a sneaker pop.
But think about it. Like, okay, we have seen numerous signature shoes from athletes that we look at like, that ain't it. Who approved that? But you see a shoe like hers, you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay, that's what I like. Yo, I like this. So, yeah, and that's why you see so many men, NBA players and males, and even in the collegiate ranks, are wearing her shoe. And then also, like you said, your co-worker's son wearing the shoe.
She's stuck. Because you can't go up from this.
Oh, no, you can. You just have to follow it up with another big-time performance, for one. Two,
I'm looking at the alternate colorways already, and they're breaking it bad. They got one where they turn the check sideways.
There's
an air bubble on the outer inseam or something. Like, that original uniform design of the one, I honestly, like you said, just keep dropping colorways. Don't come out with a two.
No, you know, but again, if you come out with a two, you can wait now because the success of it, and you see the shoe in the NBA.
Yeah, because this is a Grinch. Like, the Kobe Grinches are platform sneaker for NBA athletes. Like,
yes,
athletes will not have a sneaker deal and will throw on some Grinches.
Yes, of course, for sure. That's a fact. Like, again, that's a fact. But that's the thing. For Nike, who is a real big thing that they haven't created a non-retro shoe that is a big hit. This is a big hit. Because think about when you look at the shoes in the NBA, Kobe's are retros.
They don't have a current edition sneaker with this level of popularity, and they haven't had one in probably like 10. Well, no, I don't want to say that because Dunks was been holding them down.
No, but NBA players ain't wearing Dunks. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so we're not talking just Nike. We're talking a basketball shoe.
No, I was talking from the stance of Nike, right? Because actually, there's an article out there that talks about how Nike's has declined on making non-retro shoes that became hits. That's why they keep re-releasing retro shoes, because those always win. So they've had years of not being able to produce shoes that can stand a test. Exactly. So again, I think one of the things is, I really think it's more so the lifestyle shoe, because they've had a couple of winning sneakers when it comes to basketball, but not everybody wears basketball. And then also, not everybody wears their basketball sneakers outside. Like, that's the thing. That's when retros came in, because there's a lot of retro. Okay, you talked about the Dunks, the Air Force Ones. Like, those are basketball shoes, but most people don't wear them to play basketball. They wear them as lifestyle shoes. So that's why they can stay as a hit. So, but to transition back, because I don't get too far off the beaten path, the promotion of the WNBA helps with this. When you have NBA players wearing a shoe from an athlete who is currently not even – whose season is not even in play right now.
Yeah.
So and
she plays for the Liberty, right?
Yes, she plays for the New York Liberty.
So she's in the marketing capital of the world. Like, it's all lined up.
That's what I mean. It's lined up. So and also, that's a situation that can win, right? One thing I was gonna say in reference to the NBA dunk contest is you have to. This is one thing I've always thought. With the amount of YouTube videos that are out there, you can either invite some of these top players or some of these NBA top dunkers. I'm sorry, yeah, top dunkers, right? Yes, because that's the thing. Because some people are not players, they're just dunkers, right? Professional dunkers. Some of these NBA players can either one of two things, work with them, right? Or, like, for a lack of a better term, do the same dunk if they could possibly do it and bring it to millions of people, because those YouTube videos are not going to, they're not going to generate the amount of views and attention for one night that these NBA slam dunk contests can. So what I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, if I see some of these top dunkers videos, I'm, as an NBA dunker, I'm thinking to myself, what can I do, right? Let me imitate that. Put that on the big stage. Now I win a dunk contest, right? Because I really feel like guys weren't trying. And that's sad because let's be honest. It was Jacob Top or Toppin's, Obi Toppin's brother, right? Mm-hmm. Which I'm wondering why Obi wasn't in that. But I was like, okay, he got a brother. Baby can dunk. All right. Then it was...
His brother could dunk. I like the dunks he did.
Okay. Yeah, no, they weren't bad. It just, to me, it just didn't seem like... Some of them didn't seem clean with the power that I would maybe looking for, you know? Or that some of his counterparts did. I just think that it was just... I don't feel like... Also, another thing, what I hate, and I've hated this for a while, you got to get the crowd almost on their feet before you dunk. You got to get the crowd excited to see what you're going to do, because they're going to stand and watch the replay, because depending on the degree of difficulty for your dunk, you have to see the replay to see exactly what you did. Like, in real time, it's impossible to see that you might have spun the ball, or like Mac McClung, he mm-hmm. let go of the ball and caught it and still dunked it. But you got to see that on the replay in slow motion, because in real time, it's like, oh, wow, he did what? Oh, that was kind
of... And there's people, and there's people in comments who are saying that him doing that is not impressive.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. Now, granted, so, listen, I'm not a dunker, right? Growing up, I wasn't a dunker, so I could not do the dunks that they're doing. But at the same time, I know what the degree of difficulty is, because you try that with a layup going full speed, losing the ball, and still doing that. That's hard. And especially you're talking about going the opposite direction. You know what I mean? He's going away from the basket.
You just summed it up perfectly by saying that. Any basketball play that leads to you scoring, where you leave your feet with the ball in your hands, and at any point lose the ball in mid-flight, and then regain control of the ball, and finish to score, whether you did that in a jump shot, because we've seen that before. A guy get the ball slapped out of his hands, catch it in midair, pull it over his shoulders, and fling it sidearm and make a shot. We've seen that. We've seen guys jump through people, and on the way up, the ball came loose, and as they got their arms up, they caught the ball again and were able to... That is impressive. So when people say things like that, it's just a reminder that, like, you can't win to this. But to piggyback off of where you've been going, because I didn't really want to say it, because I feel like if I put it out there, it's going to wind up happening, and then it's on our little podcast. So, you know, I don't like that. But all the dunk contest needs to be is exactly what you spoke to about with the NBA situation with the dual gender shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina is not an NBA player. She's a WNBA player.
Mm-hmm.
She plays the sport of basketball. These guys that dunking are the best dunkers in the world. That's what they do. The NBA is supposed to be and wants to be the global brand of basketball. I think that's what we keep forgetting. Adam Silver's job, what he's been paid to do, what he's trying to do with basketball, is to make it so that his league is the face of basketball globally. So that means that you have to become an entity that is in a place where you're as big as the Olympics. And they're already doing that with as many worldly athletes that we've involved.
Mm-hmm.
So now involve the world's best dunkers. And if our league players, NBA players, want to participate, give them a slot. Hold two slots for the pros, six for the world's best dunkers. This is the best opportunity, the best showcase in the world for the NBA to say, we love the game. We love how it's spread all over the world. So we're going to bring the best in the world, regardless of whether they play for us or not, and let them have it on our platform. It's like the ultimate open mic. It's like the Apollo of dunking, showcased by the NBA. That's what they're doing for Mac McClung. We only get to see him twice a year. I live in Orlando. That man plays for the Osceola Magic. I'm in the same, like, I'm 2 miles away from where he probably plays. Never seen him. But I got to see him through YouTube and highlights of him being in the dunk contest. What I'm trying to say is it's a life-changing event when given to the right people. And what we need to do, what the as basketball, as a sport, as fans, as admirers, is remind the NBA of that. Like, it was cool when y'all had only the best dunkers. Y'all don't.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all want to put on a show, then actually bring people in who actually put on a show. Yeah. You think people don't want to see amazing dunks or they want to see names? You clearly know it's not about names because you brought out Mac McClung.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're literally arguing against yourself. It's not about stars because, would you say, Jacob Toppin played.
Mm-hmm.
Not Obi, not exactly. Kane, not Abel, but Jacob.
Yeah.
And you got Jaylen Brown throwing himself in there because he wants to be, you know, Chuck D of the NBA. Cool. My brother, you got a message for everything. Black fist up. This is a sick Negro. Say all the catchphrases. And then go out there, like you said, do poo-poo platter dunks. So the only message that it sends is like, see, I told you, man. This is what them woke dudes be on, man. But
yeah, or they could honestly, they could do something like this, too. They could get the top G League if they want to promote and market.
No, man. No, what I'm saying is get the best dunkers in the world, bro.
But again, I'm looking at it from the standpoint if the NBA wants to keep it in-house, right? Because those top dunkers.
But they're not already keeping it in-house. Like, you have the WNBA basketball games that weekend.
No, I get that. I get that. No, and I'm not disagreeing. What I'm saying is if they feel like that's not the thing for them, then at least do that. Do something better than what. Yes, I am 100% in favor of getting the elite dunkers, and you can do NBA versus the world or something. Or, and you know what I mean? Like, we got our NBA top dunkers versus your top dunkers. Because to be honest with you, Mac McClung, who did a good job, Jacob Toppin, they're not getting the type of playing time like Jaylen Brown that says, you know what, I need to work on my game. Because we got this matchup and we're playing for first place. These guys are sitting in the bench not to sound crazy, you have time to practice. When you're the star of the team, your practicing schedule is a little different. So why not? You know what I mean? Like, I'm in favor of the Duncan versus the world. I'm just saying if they say, then get the G League guys. Because I'm sure some of those hungry guys are just as hungry as Mac McClung. And that also
promotes. Well, Mac McClung is a G League guy.
I know, but I'm just saying. I'm sure it is. Get somebody else.
You rather just get the whole field. Get a field of G League guys. If
they don't
let's
do.
Let's just go some things.
Non-NBA dunkers.
Let's just go through some things. So, two of the best athletes in the world on a basketball court, our twin brother. They were not a part of the dunk contest. Neither are the Thompson twins. The NBA is also missing on who they put into these situations or the guys that could participate and elevate it because I know what that athleticism warrants and I've seen it, then I participate in. So that's why I say, and this is why I'm getting back to it because, look, man, what this era of pro sports has proven is that all-star games don't work.
Yeah.
They don't. The era of the all-star game, I'm not saying end it, but you probably should shelf it. Because you say it's a showcase, but it's a showcase of everybody telling you, we can't take this seriously and there's no way y'all can make us.
Yes.
There's nothing you could do.
Yo, did you even hear about how they said before the game, Larry Bird, Dr. J and I think Andre Iguodala went into each locker room and asked the guys to have a competitive game. And they went out there and scored 210 points to 186. I'm like, wait, that's crazy. So that to me to show you, like, I honestly thought, and this is my opinion I would tell everybody, I said, listen, expect the All-Star game to be one first quarter to the third, whatever. It'd be the layup line. It'd be open. It'd be And then the fourth quarter, they would actually play down and go for the win.
That's what we were used. That's what our generation, the generation that's aging out of the current youth, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm plus 40. So those people in that bracket beneath me, this is their time. This is their, you know, era. Yeah. This is what the athletes stand for now. And I'm not saying it in like a negative way against them, because I understand why they've chosen to do this. And it makes perfect sense. They're not wrong. The problem is that the NBA doesn't have an idea of what to do to resolve this.
Exactly.
The NFL made their Pro Bowl has been a joke for a very long time.
Oh, yeah, facts. It's only
become a worse joke in this era. They're playing flag football. But guess what? Remember before that, when they tried to play touch football on a beach, and it's one of crazy. The prime running backs tore like his knee ligament. So what it boils down to is that if you put your best athletes out there and attempt to monopolize in a game that has a value that really doesn't transcend, you're just taking a risk. Go out there and jump like a, you know, but we all know and studies have shown the knees only have so many jumps. So now you want to put them out on a jumping exhibition and basically risk your product. And everybody will tell you the worst thing you can do is risk your product, especially if you're not going to get an ROI.
Yeah. So
I feel like it's just that time. Like, there's no league, no pro sports league that we watch currently, that we consume, that has a good all-star situation. The home run derby is the highlight of all-star weekend in baseball. I tune into the home run derby. I don't care about the all-star baseball game.
No.
If you send a pitcher out there, and I'm expecting a pitcher in an all-star game to be giving you 100 mile per hour heat, I know I'm misled.
Oh, that's a fact.
Maybe, again, now, again, in our era, maybe they were going a little bit forward. Of course.
Yeah, because they were, but also they were trying to get the sport to the level where it's at today. You know, so guys would take, you know, $100,000 or $25,000 and be like, hey, I can use that real quick for a nice piece. Because remember, most sports.
So you're saying it's the money now? It's the compensation? No,
what I'm saying is, that played a factor, but also they are those guys are trying to promote the league, so it's something for them to do. I just think that
there's a different edge to competitiveness in this generation of athlete. Like, this generation of athlete is more, they're more fraternal than any other era of athlete has ever been, especially in basketball, because of AAU and all these guys essentially growing up knowing each other for a big portion of their lives. These guys are their fraternity. Like, yeah, there's only what 600 jobs in the NBA or something like that, 450, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, like about 450. And again, but there's probably like
10 times that many of players who know each other. So if you're saying there's 450, there's really 4,500 elite basketball players. They may not all be, you know, compacted into the NBA, but that's just how big it is, because all these guys were the man for their team. That team had 10 people on it. And if you take 45 and multiply times 10, you're 4,500. So there's a lot of talent that's not in the NBA, but are talented basketball players. But they all know each other. They know when the lights are on. They know when it's time. And there's nothing you could do to change that wiring in their head. They're not wired the way, like, we woke up and it was like, whoever's out there, we got to go. And I don't want to use, like, you know, detrimental words, but we wanted to go out and attack. We wanted that W. Even if we knew somebody on the other team, it's like, yo, I still want to be able to say we beat you. They can bragging do that rights. On the level of playing for their individual teams. But when you get them all together, come on, man. Kevin Durant been playing basketball against LeBron James for almost 20 years. Who knows how long Shai Gilgeous has been playing basketball against some of these other guys. He's an international player. You get what I'm trying to say? So you got all these relationships, and you got these guys on the court, and you're talking about murder, murder, kill, kill, kill. You don't have that intent.
Well, I think what's crazy is what most people say also is these guys play more aggressive in the summer leagues when they're with their trainers at the UCLA games. Like they play
Rico Hines. And...
Yeah, again, that's what I'm saying. So people know you, they can do it. It's just that they are choosing not to. Like it's because again, in the summertime, you're just trying to get that, put that work in. So that's why I'm like, hey, you need to, they need to, they have to figure something out, because this was disgusting. 200
is the problem. Right. So shove the game. If you don't feel like you're going to get a good game, you shouldn't play it.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. And I think one thing, what they used to do, even when we had mentioned the NFL, was they made, I remember they used to have guys, you know, they used to, back in the day, they used to do cats racing against each other. They had drills like, okay, who could throw the ball the furthest? In the NBA, maybe that might not work per se.
I mean, they're already doing that with the skills challenges and all this, so on
and
so forth.
Yeah, not that, but, that's terrible. So
I just don't think. See, look, here's the thing. We want to be able to say that there's an exhibition that the fans can attend and they can see the best players in the mm-hmm. world playing the best sport in the world, you know, together. And again, this era of competition is different. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, you give him a Canada jersey?
Yeah, he's playing for Wisconsin.
Nuff mana die. Yeah, the boy wants to win.
Yeah, so they have to do. And again, the next thing up is this. We talked about this one time before. They need to get, every team needs to have maybe not every team, but maybe a select amount of teams need to pick their best one-on-one player.
Oh, no, not this again. I don't want to. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's because, again, people tune in.
Knockouts.
You would have to do something because, again, if you shelve the whole game, what are you replacing with?
You don't replace it.
The NBA has these contracts with these television companies. They have to show something.
They have an All-Star Weekend contract, not the All-Star Game.
Yeah, but again, so what's going to happen on the weekend when Sunday, that used to be the actual game, is now nothing?
You just move everything to Sunday.
So you're saying
on Saturday you let the kids play the rookie game because nobody watches it on Friday.
Yeah. Well, that's what your celebrity game is.
Correct. Celebrity Saturday, and then we go for the bunny. We go for the bunny and all the money prizes on Sunday. Everybody go home. That's it. That's what you're going to get. People would like, again, the individual level of that part. I keep trying to tell you, this is how these guys are wired, bro. They're more into a shooting competition. They can zone out for that and have that mm-hmm. killer instinct you need. And that individual exhibition of skill, shooting, dunking. But in a team element, this era of athletes, it's very difficult for them to get into that bunker. Not in that format. It's not working. It's not. And then I don't even know if the rookie game was good. I just know that they had 5 games
yeah,
to get
crazy.
To a final.
Yeah, that didn't make no sense.
And that Benedict Mathurin was the MVP of it. Like, they played a half, beat this team, played a half, beat this team.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, the NBA is just throwing things out there and, like you said, trying to see what sticks. What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes when your product is bad, you just take it off the shelf.
I get it.
You only serve the good stuff.
I get it. They took away the dunk contest 1 year back in the day. And then Vince Carter came around. Yeah, Vince Carter came around and said, oh, it is back. Listen, they got to figure
it. It was gone before Vince came back. I thought it died after he left.
It was around that time frame. It was around that time frame. It was even right before.
I mean,
I really don't remember. I really think it was right before or right after. And it could have been right after. Heck, for all we know, but again, that's the thing too. They have
Kobe won it in 97.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to do it in 98. It got canceled.
Mm-hmm. And in 99, Vince had the dunk contest in 2000, I think. Because one of the years wasn't at a lockout, so you couldn't have had it. Mm-hmm. I think that was 99. I think that was whatever the case was. They've done away with the dunk contest before. So yeah. if you don't get the best players in the world, then you have to get away. So basically, but then the thing about it is, so you're saying get rid of the dunk contest and the All-Star game and don't replace it with anything.
If you're going to put a game out there, is that what you're saying? Like, if you want me to name a game type that they need to have,
I'm just saying, like, yeah,
because again, they're going to get a competitive game.
Maybe.
Okay, didn't they do the World versus? I don't think they did it in the All-Star game. I think they did it in the Rising Stars. Did they ever do a World versus US?
I thought they did, but maybe not.
I don't think it's the main All-Star game they ever did it.
No, never as the main All-Star game. See, but that's the thing too. I think that would be good, but I really feel like, and maybe this is just me, I actually feel like the NBA won't want to see the US lose. So that's maybe why they don't put it out there.
We gotta stop this, man.
Yo, listen, we lose in the Olympics a lot.
Is it the NBA or is it USA Basketball that you're saying this about? Adam Silver is no type of patriot.
Again, I'm just saying. So why have
Adam Silver?
They have enough play. What I'm saying is, so do they have enough? They've had enough All-Stars that are not from the U.S. and they've had enough U.S. born All-Stars. So that could have been a thing before.
Correct.
So there's like a reason said, why they're
holding stopping them, right?
Exactly. That's what I mean. So
do you have a full, because this is how, again, because of people like you who are practical thinkers, ideas stop sometimes. Do you think that there are 13 foreign all-stars? Because there aren't. Even though
there, but you don't, but
top 5
we don't,
in the
we
world,
don't, okay.
And they were all foreign players. The current top 5 might all be foreign players. Once you go past that 5, who are the next 8 guys?
Oh, I'm about to look this up. I'm gonna look at the roster.
Luka Doncic. No, listen.
Okay.
Shai Gilgeous, non-US born. You have Shai Gilgeous. You have Luka. You have Embiid, technically, because he was born in Cameroon. Mm-hmm. You have Joker.
Mm-hmm.
You have Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5 right there. All foreign.
So
those are arguably top 5 of your.
This All Star game was only 5.
Who were the other foreign born All Stars?
That's why I said I gotta look at the list. I mean, you might be 1,000% correct. I feel like there's somebody missing.
All of the world's
missing.
Best players are also. See, it's funny. It gets painful to hear it be said, but all of the world's best players are also the world's best players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you even Franz Wagner? You see where I'm about to go with this? Like, we can go to NBA reserves. So Eastern Conference. Who did Brunson went?
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, no, that's a fact. I'm just looking. I gotta look to see. Giannis. Damn. Now I'm looking at it because I'm looking at the East. Joel Embiid was hurt, but Giannis was the only foreign-born player on the East.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the West, yeah, Lucas, Shai, Joker. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe they can't do an NBA versus world,
right?
Because you got to put these guys as all-stars. You can't make this. Hey, we want to make a world competition, but we're gonna put non-Americans that weren't all-stars in an all-star game. I get that. Okay. I mean, you know what it is.
So this is what you do. This is what you do. If you want to fix it, you have 2 games.
2 games? Who's going to watch 2 games? They don't want to watch. They don't want to play the first one.
The first game is 5-on-5 to a score. U.S. versus the world. The second game is all of the other all-star players.
So the reserves?
The starters. What did we have? We had 5 world starters.
Mm-hmm.
So who were the alternative U.S. guys? So LeBron, KD, Tatum,
mm-hmm.
who else started?
Lillard. Dame started.
Halliburton
started.
Embiid replaced. By Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes. No, in the starting lineup.
Oh, yeah, starting lineup. Yeah, Bam started. Bam started.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I'm on the NBA .com page. Uh-huh. But to tie this up real quick. So, yeah, you got Reese, Dame, Tatum, Braun, KD that were originally selected. Those are five. So you don't have a big from the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get mollywopped. So I don't know, man. I don't know. But I think that that would be a good idea to, like, shuffle in. If you want to continue to market that, U.S. versus the world works very well on the NBA stage. You just change the game parameters so that those five guys are in an intense short competition. You shorten the competition. It doesn't lessen the injury risk, but it creates a window. You get what I'm trying to say? Where it's not extended big for these guys to be worried about getting hurt. So, all right. First one to 50, or nowadays, well, how NBA quarters end, that's not even a quarter. So you would have to make game score something like, I don't know, 87, 90, whatever the case may be. First one to 90.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting.
U.S. versus the world. You know what I'm saying? You get three timeouts each, first one to 90.
It's going to be very
interesting. I would rock with that. I would watch that. Would you watch that? U.S. versus the world, 5-on-5, first to 90?
I mean,
yeah. If you wouldn't even watch that, it doesn't matter what the second game is. If the first game is not something that you think you would tune in.
Only because I'm looking at the world team that you just described. I don't see that.
And we look like a bunch of midgets.
We do. But at the same time, I don't see that as
an enjoyable game because we're not able to compete with them physically, height wise.
Uh huh.
So maybe you move certain U.S. guys around so that you have a roster that matches up. I don't know. It's U.S. versus the world. I think that right there is the marketing ploy that they need to work with.
But you pointed out globally, there aren't enough all-stars from the world. So you can't reward guys and take away from other guys all because, hey, you know what?
That's what I'm saying. See, this is, you see how you get stuck in those
definitions? Yeah, no, of course.
There has to be an all-star. No. What All-Star Weekend is going to be about is we're going to have the U.S. And first off, the branding is so good. Us versus world. Because nobody's going to add the A at the end.
Yeah, but that is actually
the climate of humanity right now on this planet right now. It's the U.S. versus the world. Embrace it. Sell it. That's what the U.S. does. We market everything anyway. Listen, this is just my mind rattling off what I think the NBA can do to take advantage of it. Do I expect them to? Do I think it'll work? No. But I don't like where they're going with it and them just making those guys show up again to play another game to 200. I'm not checking for it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got to figure out something. And I mean, I just don't for accolades and contracts, guys make all-stars appearances. That type of stuff.
There you go. Talk that logistics stuff.
I mean, you got to because you're talking about.
You're not wrong.
You got to run this operation.
Right.
So
now you do that and you, like you said, you wind up rearranging. And that was something I didn't even think of. So kudos to you for even bringing that up. You do rearrange the parameters of how a contract will be built if you take away the concept of making an all-star game as a qualifier to make you get paid more money.
So that has to do that in the next collective bargaining agreement because you can't just do that in the middle of.
If there are incentives written into the language that involve all-star nominations, you need an all-star game to qualify that contract kicker. Or, because it's legal, you have some sort of rider that y'all add to. So they can do that. They can make an amendment to the collective bargaining agreement to account for something. And I think, honestly, and this might be a conversation that we need to have when we get some nerds on, but I think that the NBA is realizing that they're actually hurting their product with the Supermax. So I think that that is going to be something that they're probably going to, them and the players, want to write out. Because now the way the league has counteracted giving guys Supermax contracts is with these salary cap ceilings. So now you can't go play with your best friend and win and make the most money possible. They ended that era. But that's for another podcast for us to discuss. We used to go and wrap up a bow on what we had going here with the whole salvation of the All-Star game to once again reinforce some key points. You said that you felt that the highlight to you was Steph and Sabrina and mm-hmm. the proactive energy that comes with her sneaker brand and the opportunity that Nike and basketball has as a whole to continue to promote, market, and put some more steam behind the visibility of the WNBA game. And I'm all for that. I don't think that would be a dope idea. So I'm with that. I don't feel like there's anything that needs to be changed about the three-point contest. I just wasn't really into All-Star Weekend this year for my own reasons. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad mm-hmm. Dame won it because I think that it's amazing. And I think this is something that y'all should check out if y'all don't know. But Dame is the only player in the NBA who shoots with his proficiency, who actually, when they shoot, their hand comes fully off of the ball and then goes back on the ball to shoot it. So if you ever get a chance to go on YouTube and look at Dame shooting form and see what his hand does, and if you, again, want to talk ish about Mac McClung being able to jump in the air, lose the ball in midair, and then finish a dunk and say it's not impressive, just know that Dame does that every time he sends one of our teams home.
Mm.
So when he's clocking Dame time, he went up from 40. The ball came off of his hand. He reconnected with the ball, and he uses the force of his palm to make 40-foot bombs and send people home for the night.
Crazy.
But on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode of Views from the Clutch. As always, I like, let me not even do that. My brother, is there anything that you want to leave them with, a closing thought, anything that you want to say?
Just say, be safe. Thank you for supporting. And we will continue to deliver content.
As long as y'all want to hear our noise, we'll make some for you. You heard? But on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode of Views from the Clutch. As always, thank you to our supporters, listeners, and subscribers. We appreciate each and every one of you. If you can, you can leave us a like on any of the podcasting platforms you find us on, 5-star reviews and all those fancy things that people beg for in their platform. When we get on YouTube, make sure you follow, like, and subscribe. We're not there yet. But if you want to reach us, it can be done at viewsfromtheclutch@gmail.com. You can tag us on social media at viewsfromtheclutch on Instagram and Facebook. And on that note, y'all, till the game start again, I'm going to say peace.
Peace.